Well, 86% of children in out-of-home care in Australia live in Queensland. That's according to my next guest. Now, a major inquiry has called for a sweeping overhaul of the child safety sector in the state, delivering a scathing assessment of its current policies and treatment of children. The Queensland Commission of Inquiry into Child Safety handed down its report this week with 52 recommendations, including overhauling out-of-home care, expanding adoption options, and removing all children under five from residential care. Professor Darryl Higgins is the director of the Institute of Child Protection Studies at the Australian Catholic University, and he made three submissions to the inquiry. Professor, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks for having me, Sally.
Residential care has been a real focus of this report. What's it revealed about the system?
Well, I think it shows that overall across Australia, of course, we have a problem with high rates of removal of children from the care of their parents. And in some contexts, when we aren't able to provide family-like environment with kin or with foster carers, we resort to residential care. And unfortunately, that reliance on residential care is exponentially higher in Queensland. As you said, we understand that it's around about 86% of the total number of children living in residential care are in that state, which is showing us that something is going wrong in the statutory child protection system to have such an over-reliance on what is not an ideal form of care for many, many children.
And what's the daily reality of that care, residential care? We're talking motel rooms. Where are kids being housed and cared for?
Oh, look, it can range from all of those things. So certainly emergency accommodations have been in motels in the past. I understand that that has been a practice that has been ruled out more recently in states such as Queensland, but it certainly has been a problem for many, many years in a number of jurisdictions. But it's typically a small residential style house, but with paid shift workers who are coming in and coming out. So there's real difficulties for children and adolescents who are living in these circumstances to develop a sense of family. They'll often be together with, as I say, three, four, five other children who are in the same circumstances. So they're not interacting with a typical family environment where everybody's going off to school or going off to work and children of different ages who are siblings being together. And that's another of the problems that often sibling groups are not able to be placed together in residential care services.
One of the recommendations, Darryl, has been made to remove all children under the age of five from residential care. Is that a good idea in your view?
Absolutely, but I wouldn't restrict it just to aged under five. I think we have to think very carefully about older children as well and what their needs are. And if we are going to have residential care, it absolutely needs to be what we would call therapeutic residential care, where there are absolute aims to address the harms that they have already experienced, the reasons why they needed to be removed for their safety. That has lifelong effects unless we address the mental health and the emotional well-being of children and adolescents who have experienced harm in their family of origin.
The report has highlighted the significant overrepresentation of First Nations kids in out-of-home care. What has the report recommended for this group and how best to provide high-quality care?
Yeah, look, it's a big report. It's 1,400 pages, so I can't pretend to have read every line. But my sense of it is that it's a little bit of a push-me-pull-you. There are some statements there that I really welcome, acknowledging the importance of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community care sector. However, there are some concerning comments about it not growing the sector, that it's about supporting the sector, but without growth. And yet, given that there is an over-representation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children in the system, why isn't there increased investment in those community-controlled organisations, which we know have the greatest ability to understand what their community needs, to be able to connect with family, including to be able to search for appropriate kinship carers so that we don't have this reliance on institutional-type residential care facilities where there is that risk of not having attachment bonds and connection to community and culture that we're able to have through kinship placements.
Just finally, on a separate issue, and that is adoption. What do the figures tell us about the number of kids who've been in care, who've been adopted over the past few years in Queensland?
Look, I'm not sure about the Queensland statistics, but I know that in Australia, overall, the rates of adoption have plummeted since the height of adoption in the 1970s. And I've done considerable work on researching that problem. And so it was very concerning to me when governments, including New South Wales and Queensland, have seen it as a solution to the problem of how to run a child protection system. It really should not be seen as part of the things that we want to think about for caring for children, because many of the adoptions that we see still lead to a severing of the legal rights and the connections to family. And so there are ways of being able to have simple adoption that does give permanency, but I think that there are so many other options that other states and territories are following that talk about permanent care without having to resort to that legal issue of severing the relationship between children and their biological family.
Daryl, I really appreciate your insights this morning. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Sally.